Hello, everyone. This is Adam from London Music Tours, and I'd like to share with you a few listening notes ahead of the Pink Floyd in London walking tour. I recorded these a couple of years ago after the very first outing of the Pink Floyd tour. The idea is to present an introduction to the first two albums for beginners. So if you're coming to join me on the tour without any prior knowledge of Pink Floyd, well, I hope you enjoy these listening notes. Similarly, if you're already a big fan, I'm looking forward to seeing you on the tour, and I hope you enjoy them too. Here they are. Last time around, I was joined by a mixture of Pink Floyd fans, aficionados, real hardcore, knowledgeable Floyd heads, and London walkers who were keen to find out a little bit about Pink Floyd for the first time. So a real mix of people on the walk. And so this time around, I've decided to do just a couple of pointers for those of you who are coming to the walk cold with no prior knowledge of Pink Floyd. Here's a couple of things to listen to, which may well enhance your enjoyment. The artistic ground we're going to be covering, largely Pink Floyd's first two albums, 1967's Piper at the Gates of Dawn, and the second album, A Saucer Full of Secrets, from 1968. Much maligned, not least by the band themselves. It's an important album in our narrative, though, because, well, I think first and foremost, David Gilmour comes into the picture here. This is his first recorded output with Pink Floyd. The new boy comes into the picture, David Gilmour. It's also important in so much as we can see the seeds of many of Pink Floyd's later themes. We can hear the distant rumble, the distant gunfire of Roger Waters' anti-war themes, which culminates so memorably, of course, in obviously the final cut, but in the shape of Corporal Clegg here, a debut for Roger Waters' anti-war sentiments. It's Corporal Clegg that I'd like to point to here for that much maligned aspect of the album. Richard Wright, the Floyd's keyboard player, he reviewed Roger Waters' Corporal Clegg as being, well, you know, not very good. We can find a detail in the story in this too, I think, in so much as there was a real power struggle during this album for a real struggle for taking the reins of the band. Sid Barrett has just left the group. And I think it was anticipated in many quarters that Richard Wright, who'd written potential singles for the band and who'd taken over on vocal chores, he was going to emerge as the band leader. As we know, that wasn't the case. Roger Waters begins to flex his ample muscles, the Incredible Hulk of rock and roll, on this album, and setting his sights on the control of the band, as he sets indeed the controls for The Heart of the Sun, as track three is called. So it's an interesting album in so much as we hear a real power struggle going on. The last track, track number seven, Jug Band Blues, written and performed by Sid Barrett. Sid Barrett's last recorded output with the band. He'd left the band, or he'd been ejected from his own band. We'll discuss that on the walking tour. Sid Barrett will loom large in our narrative on the Saturday walking tour. But his final output with Pink Floyd can be found on this album, Jug Band Blues. It's a spectral presence. It does a lot to dramatise the myth of Sid Barrett. Ghostly, he's the Banquo's ghost at the feast. Don't shake thy obligatory Hendrix perm at me, to paraphrase Shakespeare and Roger Waters. So his ghostly, spectral, quite moving presence makes this album a comment worthy album in the Pink Floyd canon. So do have a listen to this, if you possibly can, before the Walking Tour, Pink Floyd's second album, 1968, A Saucer Full of Secrets. The other album to have a quick listen to, and it will be a quick listen, it will take up only 40 minutes of your time, so a very short album by Pink Floyd standards, is 1967's Piper at the Gates of Dawn. It's contemporaneous with Sgt. Pepper, it's 50 years old, but the Floyd are already dancing to the beat of their own tune. Some great tracks on here. We've got a Bike, the calamitous joy of I've got a bike, you can ride it if you like. Joyful, childlike, rampaging happiness, a marvellous slice of late 60s whimsy. We've got a few freak out tracks on here as well, bigger numbers that could be worked up into long, rambling freak outs at the UFO and Middle Earth. The sites of those clubs will be ports of call on our walking tour as well. Made under testing circumstances, Norman Smith, the producer, was really looking for a pop group. Floyd had other ideas, and I think it's been said that Norman Smith's great struggle was to keep their tracks down under the 3 minute mark. So whether it's a great representation of how Floyd performed at the time is up for debate. But we can see the seeds, again, of their future output. Prog is very much in the wind here. We can hear it coming in the great extended improvisations that populate this album. I think it's a comment-worthy album, worthy of further study, given that it marries very well both sides of transatlantic psychedelia. English psychedelia, very much the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, think of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. American psychedelia, on the other hand, much harder edged, think of that. Think of The Doors' first album, also from the same year, 1967. This album marries both sides of psychedelia. The Mad Hatter's Tea Party is very much in full swing with whimsical tracks such as The Gnome. But the big freak-out tracks are here as well. Interstellar Overdrive, which stayed in Pink Floyd's set for a great many years after the departure of Sid. So it's marrying both sides of the psychedelic tradition, if you like. American hard-edged freak-out psychedelia and the whimsical English version. For that alone, I think it's one of the most monumental albums of 1967, and we'll be covering it in quite some detail on our walking tour. After all that, if you still have the time, I've put together a couple of playlists of tracks from both of those albums, live versions, to try and give you a feel of how the Floyd would have sounded in the live arena. Because remember, we are going to be visiting two very important live venues from 67 or 68. Thank you.